And the episode's called The Return of Paul, because Paul's back.
Return of the King.
King in the South.
No, King in the North.
No, you're not the King in the North, sir.
Oh, okay.
You're too southern.
Yeah, I'm Cersei Lannister, am I? Sitting on the throne. Spoiler!
No, let's not talk about that. If you haven't seen it, get a move on, because you really missed the best two episodes of TV I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, episode 9 makes you want to play Warmaster.
Yeah.
It has basically it had a giant fighting people when it's like, oh, look at that. Yeah, it was amazing. It's better than any movie I've seen for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same guy directed 9 and 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal. Whatever his name is. Well done, you.
Employ him again. But he's clearly got bigger budget. Anyway, hello, we're back. I am back from America. And that means, listeners, that you will be getting us regularly again.
Yeah, until you go away again. Wherever you're going again.
But I looked at my leave. I don't actually have the leave to do that. So I'm not going to be away a long time if I go away again, because I just don't have any leave left.
Good.
Yeah.
The army took it. How was America? Tell us the story about America.
It was good. Basically,
Donald Trump. And
I could not find...
He was over here. You went over there. You came over here.
We high-fived each other. I could not find either a Hillary supporter or a Trump supporter. I could find nobody who was actually supporting either of them. I mean,
is there a third party solution?
We don't go. I mean, we've already said, me and Barry, we're not going to talk about the EU vote. But like, if we think our country's got problems at the moment, like, what are they going to do? Like, literally, they have to vote for somebody. Like, it's a two-party system, two-part horse race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't want either to win. I saw a bumper sticker, you know, for like these 2017. They all suck. It's like, there is no choice, and there's no viable third party. And I said, well, why don't you vote to come back into the, you know, like under our rule?
Yeah,
brilliant. And they're like, yeah, it kind of like brought up painful memories, I think, to most Americans. Like, what about taxation representation? It's fine. Like,
I think they were going to say, Bernie Sanders can get enough money, they're going to have like a third party, independent third party. And if he does that, I think he'll win.
Well, it's viable, but I don't know.
Kind of Corbyn.
The thing is,
honest
is
politics effect.
Like nobody sensible would vote for Trump. And Hillary, this whole Benghazi scandal massively scarred her to a lot of the American public. Thus, they won't vote for her on principle.
What's the Benghazi scandal?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know a lot about it.
Okay,
basically, it was a diplomatic incident in Syria where they lost their what is it called? Oh,
is this the film I watched while you were away?
13 hours, yeah.
Soldiers have been gone.
The CIA diplomatic mission in Syria went south, and they could have like sent in like planes and things to support, get those people out of there, and they didn't because she denied knowledge of it.
So they relied on private contractors, basically, to protect
them. Yeah, and Syrians themselves. Basically, she was found to be at fault. Truly fault or not, don't know.
But the ambassador died.
Yes.
I thought the film was pretty mad.
Yeah, and you know, it's implied that he could have been saved.
Yeah, he could have been saved, according to the film. However, the film's claiming to be
propaganda.
True.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was kind of like Black Hawk Down, but not quite.
Good. So yeah, anyway, the trip was good. It was an army. I was in an exchange program with a medical regiment in their National Guard, Connecticut National Guard. And it all went really well. It wasn't just like, it was a worthwhile trip. It really like ticked the boxes of what that trip's supposed to be. Like, I was helping them on their exercises. I was helping being directing staff for their medics. I actually had a job to do. I ran a couple of exercises, including a big house fire one with, you know, 8 casualties. Yeah, where we just like set a building on light and like
for real or just pretend?
No, for exercise purposes. But yeah, so and when that paycheck comes around, that'll be 17 days pay. That'll be for like that. So
plus your holiday pay, paid twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done you. So I'm glad you're back. Glad you didn't die in America.
Yeah, I got one cultural day, and I watched the Boston Red Sox at baseball in Fenway Park, which is fantastic.
What were you doing in Boston?
Well, it wasn't too... Where they are in Connecticut, it was 2 hours' drive away.
Right.
So, a quick drive up to Boston, by their terms, and to watch the match. And I really enjoyed it. It was like... You know, football crowds are quite hostile, can be quite hostile.
Yeah.
None of that in this baseball. It was family, there was kids. There was all these routines you go through, like the seventh inning stretch. You stand up and sing Sweet Caroline. And it was just fun. It was just like... baseball was a lot more interesting watching live than on the TV.
Yeah,
because if in the TV it's constantly broken by adverts well, you don't have any of that, do you? You just have the entertainment of the game.
And food. And beer.
Yeah, and you're seeing, like, tactics come out. Like, Boston had this guy, Ortiz, who's a big slugger, and they wouldn't throw the ball to him. They literally had to... They just walked him off.
Yeah.
It's like, he was trying to sort of, like, but they won't give him the chance. It was like, it's kind of a bit, and it was kind of booze from the crowd, but it's like, that's a tactic.
Yeah.
Don't pass to him. Yeah.
The only thing I have about baseball is that there are literally like a million games a season for each team. And to keep up with it, it's a full-time job.
Yeah, no, literally. I mean, this was a Thursday afternoon, and it was Boston versus Chicago, and it was like almost sold out.
And they play twice in a day.
It's Thursday afternoon.
They play Saturday afternoon and Sunday.
This game went on for 5 hours.
I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of retired people like baseball or something.
There you go.
Mm. Excellent. So you haven't played any games since the last one was just before you went away, the day before you went away, I think. On Wednesday, we did it in the morning.
Yes.
You went away on the Thursday.
Yeah. So this is me. But this is me returning and back with a vengeance.
Returning to a new world, a new Britain.
I mean, a new war master. While I was away, so much.
A new war machine.
Yeah. I've got to take the Prime Minister's job. I've got to run the football coach as well.
I was more disappointed about that.
It's like, sorry, guys, I got this, but it's going to be hard to do two offices at once, but I'll do my best.
The football manager's job's part time.
Yeah, so
Prime Minister full time.
England football manager, yeah, definitely. I tell you what, I'd sack the lot of them like after that performance.
It was bad.
But lose to Iceland is just ridiculous.
No, I liked Iceland, man. I wish I was Icelandic.
The difference in our teams is in terms of like, so we pay these multi-millionaire boys.
And the manager.
And we're against a team that has part-time players. One of the players, like, before he became a footballer, directed their Eurovision Song Contest entrance. Like, it's a second career to him, football. Their manager's a part-time dentist.
One of them, yeah.
Like, it's like, well, that's like a Sunday league team. Like, as in, I know they're good, like, they're doing well.
They're a good team.
Yeah, but, like, there's no way our professionals... Like, they should have just won 10-0.
Well, if England are so good, why do we need to play four strikers? We've got four strikers. We've got one in midfield, two on the wings, and one up front. But sure, we've not got wingers. We've not got midfield players. Is it now we've got to play... It's when we had Gerrard and Lampard, and we always had to play them together. Because we couldn't decide who was best. We had to play both. So we just played them both in the wrong position.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Just play the best players in the best position.
Only England can get themselves kicked out of Europe twice in 1 week.
Four days or something. Happy days. Right, so I've played a lot of games. I was going to swear that I've played a lot of games. I played four games. And while you're going to get all frenzied about War Machine Mark III, I'm still going to love this game. I'll play it every Wednesday.
Yeah, let's chat about that. Like, okay, so... Right, so War Machine Mark III is coming up and out, and I'm playing my first game of it tonight at the club against Sherwin, and but in general, like, it looks like very similar to the game it once was.
It does.
Yeah, with a few extra changes. So, much as I want to play it, I can't see it. It's not like begin again completely. I think it's not like Signar, my faction, still do exactly the same what Signar does.
But a bit better.
And the difference is with pre-measure, there'll be none of this guessing, like, has that guy got into range or not and wasting shots or
having to do snipe first to measure.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's scientific. Like, I'll be able to scout.
I love it.
That's the thing. It's like, is that going to be fun? Like,
it'll be fun for me.
Something I'm about sharing tonight is, it's like, when I start just scalping out your models and you can retaliate in no way because I'm in extreme weapon ranges, is that enjoyable? I don't know.
It depends on the scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's like, to play me in Signar, you're going to have to play the scenario. And like, because if you don't, like, I will not. Why would I commit anything?
Yeah, you're just going to pick apart.
My guys will be at the. That's the furthest ranges from the thing they're shooting at and killing. That's not like then closer to the rest of your army. I'll just be picking off whatever's nearest and keeping my stuff alive. I mean, recursion isn't what it was. Like in Mark II, recursion, you could really go hard on it. Recursion, they forfeit their stuff. Like Sherwin was telling
me.
Like Sherwin was telling me, like, well, against a recursion army, he brings back stuff. You kill something, he brings it back, he can't do anything with it, you kill it again.
You shoot the other stuff.
Yeah, you shoot the other stuff.
And then shoot that stuff, and then you take it in turns, they're never doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we shall see. I mean, like, basically, I'm not the target audience of Privateer Press. Because of these Privateer Press points that I've earned, that got me the book and the cards and everything. I don't want to buy anything. I don't need to buy anything. In fact, I'm downsizing. Like, I'm trying to shift the... Like, I had a couple of cable lists because I felt like I played everything in Signar. And now I'm like, well, I'll play everything again in Signar, but I won't get to the point where I want another a main faction because I'll just go back to something in Signar again. You know, like, I don't see... They're not going to get any money from me.
Well, not short term. They will. Long term. But not short term. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting. I wasn't overly keen on playing games before Mark III, and the draw's still not there. I will play.
Yeah.
I'll run events, I'll be involved in events, but on my Wednesday nights, if there's somebody willing to play War Master, I'll play them.
I'm ticking off right now, because it's a new thing, I'm going to either organise to play a couple of select people at War Machine that I want to, like, I like playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Sherwin's one of them tonight. But once I've done that, I will be back to, like, just casting the fishing rod out for who wants War Master or War Machine, kind of like, who wants what. I mean, I want to play Nick at War
Master. But it's been weird that I've never felt the need to kind of... I haven't even played a game yet. I think I'm playing Eric next week, and that'll be my first game.
Yeah.
And I've had the books and stuff for, like, 3 weeks. Yeah, I don't even know if it's out yet, but I've had them for a while.
It comes out today.
Oh, well, there you go. I've had it 3 weeks, I haven't even read it.
It's the 29th today. Wednesday the 29th. Comes out today.
There we go.
If you can buy the stuff, that is. If it's actually in stock somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Even weirder then.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'll talk about my games. The first game I had was Jim. I played Tournament Demons against his orcs. I used boar-heavy orcs.
Boars!
Boar-heavy. It was weird, that game. He played really, really well, and he got off most of the charges, and the Tournament Demons aren't as strong as the regular demons.
No.
Because the what do they call it? Instability table...
is harsher, and there's less magic. Harsher.
There's less magic. Because you can only have two wizards.
Yeah, so you're capped at three spellcasters rather than five.
Which gives you a little bit more variety on how your army works, because you tend to take a combat character or whatever you want. It's not just five wizards.
Yeah.
Because when I played the non-tournament, I took five wizards, and it was 660 points without magic items, just on wizards.
Yeah.
So there's hardly any army left.
Yeah.
So he played really well, and he got the majority of the charges off, and you'd expect boar boys on the charge to be able to take demon cavalry on the charge.
Yep.
Because they're the same.
Yep.
4, 3, 5.
Yep.
And every single time he lost, I pursued and killed him.
Wow. The dice.
So he should have won, he didn't win.
Yeah.
It was nothing to do with me. I wasn't overly happy playing demons, I found it quite boring.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's basically one extra attack and five up armor.
Yeah. As I said before, if the price is right, I don't anything. Demons, you know, you can make some really like if they're really lovely models for demons, if you could like what to do with them, but they don't stand out as me as a list that I'm particularly keen to go because they seem quite one dimensional.
Yeah, they've got nothing. They've got nothing really.
Yeah, I mean. You wait until I put Wood Elves against you.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. They're very foot-slogging.
Yeah.
The Flyers are the wrong way round, which is a negative, obviously, but they're really strong.
Mm.
Because what normally happens with Flyers,
they've got 5-up armor.
Yeah, so you fire them in, they get dinged up.
Yeah.
Now, Flyers dinged up, they can still do a job, but they're dinged up.
They're dinged up.
Mm. And what demons can do is bring that dinged up stand back with range 60, and that was awesome. That was the single best thing about them.
Yeah.
Because they think they've dinged you up, and they think they're going to swarm you, and suddenly it's a full unit again.
Yeah. Problems.
So, demons, they're on my list of reviews that I've got to do soon. I'm not sure how many more games I'm going to do with them, maybe just one, because they're a bit uninspiring to play with.
I could try my old challenge against demons.
Yeah, I might not give you that. If I would, I'd just bring regular demons with six wizards.
No!
And like a million demon horde.
Oh, we could have two circles of eight orc shamans and demons, like, casting spells at each other. It's the two magic circles.
So that was, that was demons. That was a game against Jim.
Yep.
Then we played Nick. Oh, God, that was hard. I played Nick Tomb Kings. I played with demons again.
Mm-hmm.
Tournament demons, same list. And he played with his Tomb Kings. And he went absolutely insane on Raised Dead. Insane. Yeah. I used a Dispel Scroll. And he's still got five units.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, like,
there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah, so I started off. And it's like, early game, we was just toying around. I've got nothing. He was trying to get his Skull Chuckers in place. But I've got nothing. My early game is nothing. Just plod across the field, waiting.
Mm.
Mid-game, I was on top. I felt confident. But then the longer the game went on, the more stuff he raised.
Yeah.
and the worse the game got.
His biggest opponent is the clock, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think, Nick, if you're listening, mate, if I play you, I'm just going to try and time you out. I'm not sure I can beat you. If he gets past about turn four, you're really in trouble if he's raising stuff.
But I think that's cool, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, our early review of Tomb Kings, we were a bit harsh on them, you know, and...
Well, you did say they had a good spell.
Yeah, I know, I picked that out. But it's like, it's showing what a practice player can do with the army. Because he's not getting... He has other stuff, Nick, but he's not getting sidetracked. He's always playing Tomb Kings.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's showing what it can do.
So his key tactic would be to get a unit of Skellen Cavalry in.
Mm.
So he chuck it in, hopefully in a flank, because that's much better, obviously. Yeah. But otherwise, into the front, and then he'll just raise behind.
Yeah.
So he's risking one single 60-point unit, and he's automatically, virtually, getting the unit 30 points back in the back.
Yeah, but that unit he raises is worth nothing.
Yeah.
It's completely free.
And then, so you go through that unit, because it's in the way, so you've got to get through it, and every single stand that you lose to those free units is, like, less of your army available to fight.
Shows the beauty of the game in terms of its different army lists. Like, Tomb Kings are playing exactly... Well, they're all about attrition. They're just like more of them. There's more of them. You can't let this go on long because there'll be more of them.
Yeah, so it was like maybe I was as many as like 6-4 up by turn four, but then I just got washed away.
It's like in that Game of Thrones episode where Jon Snow fights the Night King and the Night King just looks at him and just raises his whole army and the guys that they've lost. His expression was like, what are you going to do about that?
My stuff's chaff, but millions of them.
Brilliant.
So it was horrific. Mm-hmm. So, and the longer the game went on, the less chance I had of winning, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He never exposed his general. He was only exposing the stuff that he could just... Because then you get into the stage where he charges in a unit of free crap into you and raises another one.
Yeah. Then he's spending nothing.
He's wasting none of his real resources.
None of his resources. Brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think the only problem that Nick might have is his own clock, but if you can get past that, I think he's definitely scary. I think when I played him in the last tournament, I just went for his jugular like turn one. I think I went completely gung-ho.
It's like, you've got to knock it, you've got to do it fast. It's like straight across the ring, attack, two-round boxing match. Attack.
Like windmill punches, just swinging.
Go. It's like, you've got no time. Like, you're already late.
Right, so that's one all. Game three, Rodders. Oh, no. Game three was against Phil. Bretonians at his gaff.
Yeah.
And he's got a different Bretonian list now, but his break is still, I think, four.
Yeah.
I think four's not enough.
Five would be better.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
Because if you do the Paul philosophy and you're only exposing what you can afford to lose,
of course,
you're not exposing anything.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Yeah.
You're not exposing enough to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the other stuff's pretty crap.
At some point, you just have to say God wills it and charge everything.
Yeah, so I can't remember if he had a trebuchet. I think he might have had one, but he was really cautious with it because you can't move it.
Yeah.
And you have to expose it for it to do work.
I mean, when our Bretonians turn up, it's certainly interesting, like, toying with what to do, like, with them, how to play them. Because there are, different ways you can try it. Like, do you need the trebuchets? Like, there's lots.
I don't know. I'm not sure I do.
That's the thing. But you can set up a position where the trebuchets can dominate a bit of a battlefield, like they will always be firing.
Well, they're not like other artillery. Yeah. If you can't start on a hill, they're not getting to a hill.
Exactly.
And if they're not on a hill, then they've got to be visible. Really And then the flies just eat them.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's very difficult. It's hard. Yeah.
So maybe you just stick them behind a wood and just indirect fire them for the game. I don't know.
Maybe.
It was hard. Mm-hmm. And also, you can mess them around, obviously, because they've got to charge. Mm. So the Pegasus Knights and stuff, as good as they are,
can be coaxed out of position. Yeah.
And he made the mistake of charging his other unit of Pegasus Knights into my bolt thrower brigade.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't end so well.
Pretty birds.
Because he hit one unit, but it was like 15 shots on three to come into the front.
Ten hits.
There wasn't much left. They certainly didn't win that combat.
No. It's this that range brigade's difficult. It's difficult to attack.
Good.
Yeah, it's meant to be good. Wait to get wood elves.
It's something called range 30, though. Yeah. Really? Yeah. It's range 40, range 30.
Yeah, you attack it with cannons.
That would make me sad. And wood elves would definitely make me sad. You might find somebody turning up with wood elves on Saturday.
God, that'd be brilliant. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, our big thing about today's episode is talking about the event, but yeah, I mean, like, there are army lists I would love to see on the table.
Goblins are coming on Saturday.
Goblins, yeah, that's one. Oh my god.
Look at what on earth is going on here?
Yeah.
I think his rate was 15, like yours.
Well, it'd have to be. Like, yeah, but even then, it's like, this might be not enough, you need more. But,
So I think that was quite a conclusive win, I think, against Phil. I think it might have been like 4-0 or something.
So, last game against Rodders?
Last game against Rodders. This is the miserable affair. So that was with my High Elves against the Bretonnian. And I played Rodders with High Elves against his Dark Elves, and he got the drop on me. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So he was really disciplined. He had a tactic.
Yep.
He put both his harpies behind my lines.
Yep.
So I needed to turn around to clear these harpies off. Because as good as High Elves are, there's only the general that's any good at ordering.
Mm.
The other stuff's just the same as everybody else's crap.
Oh, first world problems.
Exactly. So if you've got harpies behind you, you're on a 7.
Well, then maybe you should set a unit of cavalry whose job is on your baseline.
Yeah,
it's to stop the harpies.
Or maybe I should have set my eagles on the baseline.
Yeah, just waiting for his harpies.
Because his harpies aren't going to attack my eagles.
But maybe that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I will next time. Because once those were behind, the game was basically over.
Yeah.
So I wasted my first turn trying to turn to face the harpies. Didn't manage it.
Yeah.
He moved his army up. Second turn, I managed to turn round so that I could at least kill the two units of harpies, which I didn't quite manage to do. I missed a bit. He charged me with the two units of harpies in the arse because I was facing the wrong way. Mm. At one of my bolt thrower units and dinged up quite badly my spearmen.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn two, I turned round and managed to deal with the harpies. But turn three, he was on me.
Mm.
So his dark riders were within 15. They just shot me to pieces.
Yep.
And his corns came in and all my silver helms.
Sneaky
all my
dark elves.
So that's it. Literally, three turns dead. Boom. I did nothing.
Ah.
I didn't move anywhere. I didn't do anything. I just tried to turn and face the harpies. Didn't manage to do it.
There's going to be some contenders for
and
your
by
title.
The time I dealt with the harpies, I was dead.
Yep.
So my message to you, if I remember it, which I never will because I'm stupid, if they've got flyers and they're the kind of disposable flyers that harpies are, set something up on the baseline to protect your back.
Yeah, to come and get
like,
them.
Maybe some... I don't know, if you don't have your own flyers, maybe you could put, like Paul said, some cab or something.
Mm-hmm.
So if he sets up behind you, because he can't reach your base edge, you'll probably get...
Yeah.
Like 10 centimeters.
He gets over your front line, but not onto your back line.
Yeah, and then you just set up to charge him.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what you need to do. That's what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that rookie mistake cost me again.
Yeah. But never mind, you won the next one, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. Right. Mm-hmm. So is that everything? We talked about the football, that was rubbish. Talked about that, we're not talking about anything else to do with that, so that's good. Okay, our sponsorship, not only did they sponsor the podcast, they sponsor Paul's event.
Yes, indeed. So KR are awesome, they will be giving out their prizes, and they are very nice prizes indeed. It really, I've managed to amass a lot of prize support for this one, so it's worth winning.
And there's 15 players, I think, at the moment.
16.
Ooh.
Because I can count for... Yeah, but 15... I mean, so let's say 15. 15 people I have sold tickets to. And there are one or two others then who say they're coming, but haven't bought the tickets yet. So I will be checking, like, might have to pay on the day, of course. And there might be one or two drop...
So you might go past 16?
Might do.
Wow, I've only ordered 16 books if they took...
Well, we'll just have to not give them to our club guys and, like...
give them later.
But, it's going to be... fun on the bun. I mean, what it means is that the winner is going to be by strength of schedule, which is a shame because I'd rather have one overall winner.
Mm.
But like, we can't do four rounds. There ain't enough time unless by some miracle everybody finishes quickly. So I will really explain the strength of schedule to everyone again because this is how this tournament's going to be decided on strength of schedule. And so you've got to win your three games, but then it is a bit potluck over who you got and how they did. Yeah,
okay, so you reckon there'll be enough numbers that you cannot win without three wins?
I think so, yeah.
I think,
it's a shame.
Well, it's a good job I got an easy first round tie then.
Is it? Well, no,
some international jet-setting grudge match.
But you can't control, like if it's Christoph, you can't control who Christoph plays and how well he does in the next rounds.
No.
So that's the thing. It's like, that. I mean, it's the fairest system there is, but it's not absolute. The fairest thing is having one overall winner, but there isn't the time to do that, sadly.
No.
But it's what it is. I mean, what a problem. We're popular. You know, unless the only way you could sort that is by having it over 2 days, but that would probably cut the numbers down itself, because people can get 1 day away from family, but they can't get two.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've played a game today. Mm-hmm. Back onto playing games. I was with my tournament High Elves, which is the same High Elf list I've been playing forever. I used in Bunker Warmaster 1.
Yeah.
And Paul was with Skaven.
Skaven!
Got your list? You want to read through
your
madness?
Here it is.
It was a scary old thing, this Skaven list.
So, still in development, Skaven. I went for 13 Clan Rat units, 2 Storm Vermin, 2 Giselles, 1 Plague Monk, 4 Rat Swarms, 2 Gutter Runners, 1 Rat Ogre, 2 Warp Landing Cannons, 2 Doom Wheels, a Screaming Bell, a Greyseer, 2 Heroes, 1 with a Sword of Fate, because I had 5 points left, and 2 Warlocks. Breakpoint 15, Scout 6 from the 2 Gutter Runners. Yes, I'm still very much developing Skaven tactics here.
Tactics. That's what they're called, aren't
they? Tactics. And when you play an army enough, you start learning how to build brigades. And of Skaven have the unlimited brigade rule. So this is what I'm learning, is like, how do I form up brigades? What do I expect from what can I expect? How do I actually attack and win? I think obviously the Skaven's thing is numbers. Like, I've got breakpoint 15. Most armies have around a breakpoint of 10, don't they?
10 or less.
Yeah, 10 or less. So, yeah. But I think the Skaven have got to go even more numbers. I mean, I'm tempted to drop a Doom Wheel because they're the most expensive points and have more units.
But I thought the Doom Wheel was good.
Yes, they are good.
What armor saves a Doom Wheel?
5+.
5+.
They're a good cap, but they're counter pieces. Oh. They're not line breakers. And the way the Skaven attack is clearly, it's like, set your stuff forward. Enemy comes in, deals with it, breaks up his stuff, dealing with it. Then you come in again on his stuff that's wiped out your stuff. So basically, you've got a peace trade, but you've got more pieces to trade. You have to start the peace trade. You're not going to start off by, I charge something and I wipe it out. It's going to have to happen off like units getting broken up, because that, and then the Skaven start telling, like, then their numbers start, you start getting flanks and things, and like you start, and like two stands of cavalry aren't as dangerous as 3, so they can't attack you as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how Skaven do it. And the fact that they can all chase means that, oh, those unit of cavalry that have 2 left, like, it's still, you can go after them.
Yeah.
So you get that win, you get that turn of a win, and then you can like start chasing the cavalry down and do more damage. So anyway, what I'm saying is it's much to play around with. The key unit is how many clan rats you have at 40 points a unit. How many clan rat stands units do you have, and what to do with them, etc. So, yeah, I was really happy. I was happy with that, like the result of the game. So Barry used his tournament High Elf list.
Yeah, with full cheese.
So for full cheese against my rats with no cheese. So I can't expect a win, but they did well actually. Barry, tail of the game. So on Barry's right flank, he put all his cavalry coming down at me.
Basically, I put everything into one corner.
Yeah, Barry's standard tactic.
If I'm going to fight on the third of the pitch, I'll choose which third.
Well, that's another thing I need to learn about Skaven, because I set across the table, but I found it hard to turn my army. So maybe I have to set up like more in like wedge, basically like not expect that, not deploy across, deploy deep in the middle. And then swerve my column either way, depending on where the enemy's going. I don't know. Like, there's more to this than meets the eye, definitely. Yeah, the more the
one. So just like a tea tray with
my army just goes that
just
way.
Just move it 20 centimeters.
What cost me this game was that I couldn't turn my army enough onto the flank.
Well, your main brigade.
Yeah, and my main brigade.
It had everything in it. The main brigade had like everything.
Barry never
in
fought
it.
My best stuff, and I never got more than 2 orders off on the brigade. Like, even though I'm command 10.
Yeah, you're an elf general.
Yeah, I kept rolling 10 and 11 on the second order. You know, and it just, on one order, I just double sixed it immediately. So, I'm glad, so overall, I lost 15-6. That's all right, because I was hampered by my main brigade never being able to commit because I just kept rolling so high.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that was my design, as in, well, I put my am I taking warp lightning cannons and I put them in the main brigade? Do I want to take warp lightning cannons?
I don't think you want them in that brigade.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm taking them, where do I do with them? I don't want to give them away freely. There's an artillery piece that doesn't have another artillery piece that protects it. you know, like a Hellblaster or a flame cannon. How do I use this? If I'm going to take any shooting, it's got to be close to each other for it to matter. My original plans were, well, that main brigade gets in weapon range, and that's the anvil that I'm shooting, and that then the enemy comes into, and I smash it, and I hit it up with the flanks. I don't know. There's all stuff to consider. You know, do I scrap the Warp Lightning cannons and Giselles and just have more clan rats?
You got Giselles, haven't you?
I had 2 units of Giselles, yeah.
Well, then you could build a brigade like my archery brigade.
Well, yeah, I could, but would that do? Your stuff does so well because it actually kills what it shoots at.
And
would,
shot
yeah,
armor.
Would mine? Yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, is it actually going to do that? Like, you know, I don't know. It's there's lots to try, and. I do love them.
I don't even know where the Giselles were in that game. Were they in the big brigade as well?
Yeah, the big brigade. Yeah, they were alongside the. They got massed into the like blob that was that brigade when it tried to move. But yeah, they were there. They're similar, like in the way Liscaean are playing, and a bit like Lizardmen in the problems of command.
So you've got better command.
Well, yeah, but I've got. Yeah, that's the thing.
No, you haven't. You're going to say I've got 20 centimeters. I've got 20 centimeters.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But you've got better command.
Yeah,
Your heroes are as good as any as most people's generals.
Yeah, it's just.
And your general's an elf.
Yeah. It's difficult.
I think they've got some legs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Really I've got to. They're not a beginner army, definitely.
And how are you going to deal with Geroffs?
Well, that's the. Exactly.
Like, I've got no idea, man.
It's difficult.
Because that thing's never moving.
Yeah.
But, you've got four wizards hitting it every turn.
Yeah,
it's never
exactly.
Moving.
Exactly.
It's never
that's what I'd do. Yeah.
So it's here. If you get first turn, it moves. Yeah. And then it never moves again. The best you can do is stick something behind it.
So it never goes back, but yeah. It's
probably but it never moves.
Problems.
Mm-hmm. It's because nobody plays orcs. Loads of people play orcs.
No,
they love
you mean nobody plays... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere. And goblins have one as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I think without the screaming bell, they'd be pretty rubbish. But with the screaming bell...
Well, you've got to take the screaming bell.
You were moving stuff like 50 centimetres away.
You got to take the screaming bell. I mean, this is the army, maybe a bit different, but Skaven I will take to the tournament on Saturday because I'll be the spare player. I hope, actually, we have an even out of players because I need to run the event. But as Barry said, what I can do is play the bottom paired player and just say you have won this game. If I get called away to do stuff, like it's inevitable. So whatever the result is, you've won, and I'll play as much as I can.
Mm.
You know, and just be gung ho, just like shove Skaven at them. Yeah,
you know, like, well, that's a tactic anyway.
Yeah, but really just go like go. You know, like we'll see. I mean, yeah.
So anyway, top pool set up his army in 1, 2, 3. I think he had as many as 5 brigades. And you've got unlimited size.
Yeah,
All the way across the table, and I decided to go on my right flank all the way around and start eating from his left.
Yeah.
So we managed to, with Silverhelms and Reavers, eat most of his left flank while he was trying to bring his right flank over and his centre over. And I had a hill with my... like bolt throw brigade didn't do anything.
That hill was you set it up very nicely. On the top 2-level hill, second level the bolt throwers, first level the archers, in front of it spearmen. It was proper like you could defend that for days. good position. So I just well
just never engaged and they had to come down.
I wanted to. I couldn't get there. my big brigade moved. Like, was the furthest point it got forward was 52 centimetres onto the table. I start 20 on.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far
that
as it got.
That was 6 turns in.
That was 6 turns in. That's as far as it got.
But that was your... Because you kept trying to wheel around to go to one flank and then wheel back. Wheel around and wheel back.
Didn't work.
Yeah. So, I think they got legs. I like them.
Yeah, I mean...
I think it'll be hard to play for time because...
Oh, yeah, but...
The first time ever that Paul nearly ran out of time.
Yeah. For me, the fluff... is like why you love fantasy, and this is most of my favourite fluff. So, What can I say? It's like it's not a problem losing with Skaven because
you're an orc and goblin player.
They spend their lives losing. Like it's fine. Like ultimately, as long as my Grace is alive, it doesn't matter. Like it's only
make more.
It's more Skaven. Like.
So it would be nice to see what some of the other stuff did.
Well, yeah, all I did was try to get it in. Like yeah, trying.
Next time, catch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I won. It was, yeah, reasonable. But then there's no glory. No glory winning with high elves against Skaven.
Yeah. It's you're like just pushing an old lady over, aren't you? It's like...
What a monster. So, we got the tournament this weekend, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
I've got something to do on Saturday evening, so I'll have to chip off.
It's bigger and better than the first time round. So it's improved. I mean, and in fact, it's probably... I mean, like, it's great. I mean, I'm really happy with
it. Have you got... Everybody knows about Death Clock. There's nobody going to be turning up.
I believe so. I mean, I have never not said it was, and I will assume no knowledge, though. I will, on the start of it, when everyone's there, I will be like, this is a clock system, this is how it's used, etc. I will go through the strength of schedule, because that's how the tournament's going to get decided. First decider is how your points your opponent's got, and second decider is army points you've lost. So, you know, if you lost the least... I really hope it doesn't need to go any further than that. And I'll go through the scenery. I'll be like, this is a wood, this is exactly what this means. A hill, lips of hills, this is a river. What
so you're going to play the 2 centimetre rule on hills?
Yep, I think it's fair.
Okay.
I think, because it's better. It makes the tables better, definitely. But I will tell everybody that. I mean, like, ultimately, scenery is what you decide amongst yourselves. But if you call me over, these are the scenery rules I am using. And I'll explain them to everybody. This is the senior rules you should play, because I can only rule them on what the rules are in my head.
You've got the elders. Both the elders are coming.
Both the elders, and it's a good bet actually. Like, we should have a pool on like who's going to win. Janna's won well last time. You pushed him.
No, hard, well,
but like, but he is. If he's coming back to use a real army, well, obviously he's the favourite, defending champion. But there equally are some good players amongst it. So
international players.
International. I've got a Belgian staying with me Friday and Saturday night. Yeah.
He's a bit of a name.
Yeah, he's a name. Definitely. It'll be.
You've got Jim.
But I like what I'm saying is, like, I like the way that this tournament's now evolved to be like it's the competitive one, because the prize support warrants it. Like Alec, the last Tri Wizard that we won the doubles.
Did we win?
Yeah, we did. But, I won more than you.
Yeah, of course.
But, it was a lovely little trophy we got, but that's it.
I think you dropped and broke.
No, I dropped and broke. But as I say, like, it wasn't like, you're going to walk away with hundreds of pounds worth of kit, like, if you come first in this event that we're coming up. So,
you're in heavy on the first prize.
Well, first is everything. Life's not about second place, is it?
But much more laid back. I'm saying, spread it around.
Well, I mean, there's like some prizes that, I mean, like, for example, one is $100 for Pendragon as a voucher.
Eureka.
Oh, Eureka. Yeah. I couldn't break that up because it's not worth the postage.
Yeah.
So it had to go in a one check format. And obviously, that should be first. Like,
yeah. And the KR case.
Well, yeah, they can't have the worst case, can they? They've got to have the best case, because they came first.
Well, it probably is worth more than 100, I guess.
Yeah, so it's like, game on. You know, like, not bad for £10 plus, including lunch.
Including lunch. Mm-hmm. Well done, yeah. It's going to be good fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully, obviously we don't have too many games to go to time.
Yeah, obviously our next episode will be the result of the Bunker War Master 2, the how it went down. Yeah, I mean, obviously, as I say, I'll explain the clock system, and there is no question. Like, and I'll explain why we use it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Like, and if you tell me it's not enough time, I don't believe you.
Well, Jim enjoys it now.
Yeah,
Jim,
I mean, the thing is, I've converted some of the original like 50/50s. And yeah, but it's the way it's going
to
go forward.
But that doesn't mean that every event has to be.
No, no, God.
When they run their events,
yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not.
Free
I can't. Yeah, I mean, all I can do is plant my flag and say this is what I'm doing. And every event I run is this format. This is the format for me. So you know what you're going to get. So, bring your A game.
Hopefully, Jim comes up with the pursuit. Crib sheet.
Yes.
Today we encounter something that's a little bit messy.
We need some player gaming aids to make clear up some of the unclear bits of pursuits, etc. And, this one about removing casualties was just like, oh, hang on, that does mean something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that rules as written or is rules as intended?
I don't know, because Paul was away, I played Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that we did discuss a little bit during our game was... Yeah. How you remove casualties, and how you remove casualties kind of changed the combats quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
And I played it on Paul today, and he was like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
like, this is horrible.
Yeah, but, yeah. Exactly. But it's something to discuss, isn't it? And it shows that, I mean, it just shows how, I mean, I tell you, I love
it. Because what we really used to do, we used to push back and then we'd remove casualties. And,
yeah.
And basically we'd have, I don't know if it was a written rule or we were just playing it. We tried to keep the combats together.
Yeah.
So we'd kind of remove casualties
because
from the answer.
Because it just felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But actually, is it? Like,
no.
But that's
like, Jim was like, yeah, pulling stuff out the middle and making combat separate.
Okay, separate.
Because you pursue one way and you pursue another way with another unit and now you're in two combats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, and he'd make me go into the sides of other units and bring them in. Yep. It's like, oh, Jesus. So I did it today with Paul, and he was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because he pulled in two units of spearmen onto one side.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is it's definite. I mean, this is just, I love this game. But it just shows, like, oh, hang on a sec. You think you know something. Okay, I know this now.
Yeah.
And then you see that, you're like, oh. Got to rethink a few things here.
Well, like, lots of things we've discussed today, like me getting sucker punched with the harpies.
Yeah.
You getting sucker punched with your general a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this stuff with the pursuit. This is like where experience tells. So you expect people that have been playing the game for 15 years to beat you.
Yeah.
Because they know tricks that you don't know.
Again, and practice rewards play, doesn't it? It is. I mean, you could have dice and dice really cost you one thing, but if you played it again 5 times, you'd win 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is good. That's why we like War Machine, isn't it? Because War Machine rewards practice.
Yeah, that's something I need to do a bit more practicing. We don't really have a mailbag to talk about because, it's been a bit quiet since you've been away, to be honest. I think we've only had one post on the Facebook.
I suppose, but I mean, people...
They miss you, Paul. You're the talent.
No, but we said, like, we're going away for a couple of weeks. You know, it's not like we hid that fact. I haven't had anybody messaging me. Because they know, like, if they listen to us, they know when we're coming back on air.
So we're back on air today. Mm-hmm. We'll do one next week, which will be all about the Triwizards. We'll try and record some on the day.
That would be good, if we can.
Yeah.
It might be background noisy, but we can try.
It can't be worse than the curry shop we went in.
All the raining, like, come back,
And then I'm going to do Demons next. So 2 weeks' time I'll be doing Demons. I'll try and get a game in. Might get another. Make it 2 in. I've definitely had enough of playing them. I won't be buying them.
That'll be our next army review because I need more playing of Skaven.
And you're going to just keep going with Skaven until you review them now, are
you? I did say that this needs more playing. Like, I'm starting,
You'll be here in like 10 years' time saying, pretty soon.
Maybe 14 clan rat units. No! It's like, what do I do? One 2 gunner runners was too many.
What about 20 clan rat units?
What about 20,
Excellent. Right, so it might be a relatively short one today, but hey ho.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to Saturday and. Those of you that are coming on Saturday, I look forward to seeing you. Come say hello. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
I'll be the one wearing Warmaster Podcast t-shirt.
The next Triwiz is in November. So after this event, the next one will be the Derby one. The 2-day thing that we're this new adventure. And I will start trying to push that after this event. So we'll see what happens. But it might, and you know, the Derby event might, at worst case, it's me going to Derby and playing Warmaster for a weekend with Jim and Nick and maybe one or two others because there isn't enough to actually have an event. But who cares? Like, you know, like if that happens, it's like, oh
well. If you get 4, you can have
it. But that's the thing, I never.
The prizes, like, though, you might as well win.
But I said to KR, is like, I can't promise you a successful event. And like, they were fine with that. So if it devolves down to a weekend away playing your favourite game, that's not a bad thing, is it?
No, it's not bad at all. Yeah. And I'll try and make it Saturday, although I'm not committing.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's what it is. Unless you build it, they don't come, do they?
It's like, true.
You've got to try and then see if you can get it off the ground. But to have what looks like, say, 16 players on Saturday would be fantastic because, that's a tournament scene, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, boom.
So what armies are you building at the moment? I'll talk about what I'm doing. Have you got any more stuff? Orcs and goblins coming?
Oh, my army lists are getting long. Right, okay, so right now, I might as well say, right now I own Empire, which can also be Dogs of War, Dwarves, Skaven, Orcs and Goblins, High Elves, Dark Elves, Vampire Counts, which I'm going to also turn into Tomb Kings at some point. So,
just 8, yeah?
Is that everything? Ogres.
Oh.
Oh God. Like, yeah. It's, yeah. And I want to own Bretonians.
Oh yeah, I'm building those as well.
I want to own, like, say, the Tomb Kings. Yeah, I've got a lot of armies.
Yeah.
But it's good, it's fine.
Yeah, I think I've only got High Elves and Tomb Kings and Lisbon and Bretonian and Nip.
I mean, it's all investments. Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, the beauty of this game system is the diversity in armies. And we haven't even scratched some. We haven't even tried some.
Yeah, still got six to do.
Yeah.
Before we even complete the first.
Exactly. So it's like, well, you know, what's Norse like on the table? I've no idea. Like, yeah. So that's the thing. That's the diversity in the game system. Is it's just that, well, okay, so what, I can imagine a point where it'll be literally, I'm going off to play Barry, like a War Master, and record a podcast. I'll literally roll a dice on a table and I'll be like, I'm taking that army, and there you go. And yeah, and I love painting the stuff. I've got to try and get done. I need to do another unit of Rangers for the army George is borrowing. And then that, you know, that, because I wrote him a dwarf list and realised I'd written one too many Ranger units that I actually had painted. And I was like, damn it, I better paint that Ranger unit. And I'd like to give Graham an entirely painted Dogs of War army. So I wrote him, because I wrote them lists that are good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to push the last 500 points. So I don't know if I'm going to get that. I'll get the dwarves done, yes, but Dogs of War might not happen. Okay. Because I've got, and sadly, but he'll have the majority painted. So
you're going to have best painted?
Of course, yeah. There's going to be.
I saw some pretty nice pictures of Christoph's orcs.
There's best painted and best table and first, second, and third. Obviously, it's nice to reward, like, most, as in best opponent, but I've always found that's a really hard one to judge and can lead to contention anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd rather assume that everyone's a good opponent and leave it at that. As in, it's really hard, it's really subjective.
So instead of best opponent, you have worst opponent and you just refund their ticket next time.
And tell them never to come back. Yeah, like, but I don't know, it's like, I've always found that with the best opponent thing is it's really subjective because everybody can vote on the best army. You just need to look at it. You know, not everyone's voting on the same person for best opponent because they haven't played them. So, yeah, I just assume that everyone will be nice. You know, like, you know, I hope so.
I'll tell you what was funny, I've just remembered the story. I actually judged the painting at Lock and Load.
Oh, right, okay.
Which was quite funny because I'm not much of a painter.
Yeah.
But it turns out I can actually judge painting quite well.
Yeah.
So they had Lock and Load, they have like, because it's a privateer press, you get a gold medal, a silver medal, and a bronze medal. I actually did the judging. I got it right as well.
Well, something I heard, a funny story, was that one of the FA bosses, because they've got to put a new coach in, came out and admitted, like, today, saying, oh, I'm not really into football. I don't know much about football. I know, it's like, but you're one of the three that decide which football coach is the new football coach, and you've just said that? It's
well, like, the FA big boys.
Yeah.
I don't really.
Yeah.
Football? What is this football?
Oh, we don't listen to experts. You know, like, screw them. Like, them and their facts and opinions. Like, amazing.
Do you know what it was? I reckon it was that they said that if you drink tea, it gives you cancer. These experts with the cancer facts.
Another thing I read, like.
So, because you said they can't drink hot tea, that means you can't trust
them. Well, another thing I heard, like, Kane, one of the English players, like, one of the Iceland players said, in the tunnel, when they were coming out for second half, like, there was, like, he heard conversations going, people saying, we can't lose to these, like, they're meant to be really shit. And Kane actually is quoted as saying, and I don't know why the Iceland guy would lie, he went to the ref and said, are we actually out of this competition if we lose to Iceland? Like, he didn't understand it was a knockout. And it's like, how thick can you be?
Oh, I'm insulated.
Yeah.
It's like,
what? Like, you know, I mean, and it said it, like, all that stuff just really fired them up to, like, right. Win.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like they were giving, that England was showing them no respect. And, like,
that chant was fantastic. Yeah. I was even chanting.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's like Viking style.
Yeah.
Good. I hear Iceland is what, it's populated by Vikings who wanted someone colder and harsher to live in. That's why they chose Iceland. That's how hard Iceland is.
Was that, they went from Greenland to Iceland?
Well, yeah, but, well, like Scandinavia.
Oh,
they found Iceland. And they were like, man, it's even worse than our own home. Let's live here. There's dragons over there. Like, I love it.
Just eat frozen fish for dinner.
Yeah, there's no, it's just endless, like, night here. Like, brilliant.
fair play to them, rather than Iceland. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's going to be it. That's Warmaster Podcast episode 23, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So going forward, Triwizard and
in 3 days' time,
and Army Review episodes coming up.
Okay, and have a good evening.
Biggest person.